The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, January 5th, 2015. Bardophiles, and welcome to the 32nd episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines, coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what was the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included Ross Story ran a commentary on a story we discussed last week, the Newsweek piece on the campaign to prove Shakespeare didn't exist, opining that the motivations behind these debates, linking them to a right-wing status quo-maintaining agenda where black men can't be president and common men can't be great poets. But like the Newsweek piece, it's interesting, but then again, I really don't have a dog in this fight. The Chattanoogan ran a story on Shakespeare for the Elizabethan Impaired, a six-week class by Janice Haish, the founder of Shakespeare Chattanooga and a theater instructor at Chattanooga State. The course will include showings of Twelfth Night, Romeo and Juliet, and Julius Caesar, and will take place at the English Rose Tea Room in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The Louisville Eccentric Observer, Leo, ran a year-end review of theater in the Louisville, Kentucky area and named Kentucky Shakespeare as one of the top theater highlights of 2014. ARY News from Pakistan ran a story outlining the history of the so-called Macbeth curse, which has most thespians using the term Scottish play instead of the title. The story also recounts how to cure the curse. The Reformer ran a story on the presentation of Shakespeare Unrehearsed, Twelfth Night, at the New England Youth Theater. It's their fifth annual fundraiser. Princeton's community newspaper, Town Topics, ran a story on New Year's Day examining one of the great revelers in literature, John Falstaff, from Harold Bloom, back through Wells, to Edmund Keats. Broadway World ran a story on the production of As You Like It by Australian Shakespeare Company that has just begun its run at the Royal Botanical Gardens in Melbourne, Australia, and it plays through mid-March. The Washington Post ran a story on The Tempest by Shakespeare Theatre Company, focusing on the use of the colossal masks by director Ethan McSweeney in the production that runs through mid-January at the Harmon Center for the Arts in Washington, D.C. The Daily Echo ran a story on the historic Plaza Theatre in Romsey, England, announcing auditions for this summer's run of Much Ado About Nothing. Russia Beyond the Headlines ran a story on The Cook Cafe, where there are five tables for three people each. In between plays, there is food served at all the tables. Each one of them gets a menu listing Shakespeare's plays, and each table can select one play. Thus, each evening has five plays performed, each lasting about 10 minutes, and no one knows in advance which five it will be. The Cook Cafe is in Moscow, and table for three costs about 600 rubles or $125. Playville previewed the upcoming Macbeth, Tim Burton Meets Shakespeare, by Abstract Sentiment Theatre Company, which is styled-like but lacks the involvement of Burton, to be staged off-Broadway in Manhattan during the last week of January. The Bradenton Herald previewed the upcoming production of As You Like It by Australian Shakespeare Company, running through mid-January at the Cook Theatre at the FSU Center for the Performing Arts in Sarasota, Florida. Scoop Independent News in New Zealand previewed the upcoming two-weekend run of Suddenly Shakespeare, where the audience will select a play, then actors and audience members, if they wish, will perform the play with props, costumes, and modified acting scripts to be read off of smartphones. It sounds like a blast, and will take place at the Griffin Theatre in Wellington, New Zealand, on the last Saturday of February and the first Saturday of March. And finally, The Tennessean reviewed Twelfth Night by Nashville Shakespeare Festival, praising the production's use of original music. The run runs through the end of the month at the Trout Theater. Now let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On December 30th, 1460, the Battle of Wakefield took place, a major battle in the War of the Roses. This is where Richard, Duke of York, and his son, Edmund of Rutland, were killed in action in a major victory for the Lancastrians. A very fictitious version of this battle takes place in the third part of Henry VI. On December 31st, 1937, actor Anthony Hopkins was born in Margam, UK. Though most widely known as Hannibal Lecter, he is also the title character in Julie Taymor's film adaptation of Titus, as well as Othello for the BBC Complete Works series, and Claudius in the filmed version of Hamlet with Nicole Williamson as the Dane. He was also Prospero in the very first major Shakespeare I ever saw on stage, The Tempest at the Mark Taper Forum in the late 70s. On January 1st, 1605, the first recorded performance of A Midsummer Night's Dream took place at court. On January 2nd, 1939, the film adaptation of Twelfth Night, directed by Michel Saint-Denis and starring Peggy Ashcroft as Viola, was released in the UK. On January 3rd, 1437, Catherine of Valois, widow to Henry V, and later wife to Owen Tudor, died. She was the mother, with Henry V, of Henry VI, and grandmother of Henry VII, with Owen Tudor. On January 4th, 1965, poet and critic T.S. Eliot died. What's his connection to Shakespeare, you ask? Well, in a paper titled Hamlet and His Problems, he said the play is most certainly an artistic failure. The evening of January 5th is known as Twelfth Night, a festival concluding the 12 days of Christmas. In medieval and Tudor England, Twelfth Night also ended a winter festival that began back on All Hallows' Eve, one in which the Lord of Misrule ruled, turning the world upside down, making kings peasants and vice versa. Been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending January 5th, 2015. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com, and we'll catch you next week.